NIL. I know it's three letters. It's become a bit of a four-letter word around college basketball, college athletics across the board, I should say. Name, image, and likeness. What a lot of us don't understand is how does it work? If you're a basketball player at a university, do you call the collective and say, hey, I want to get a sponsor? If you're a lacrosse star, do you call the collective and say, anybody want to pay me to make an appearance? There's so many questions I have about the process. Can the coach just whip out the checkbook and write a check? The truth is we don't really understand it. So our guest on the Kilcoin Conversation is Troy Robertson. Played at St. Louis University, made it to an NCAA tournament. That would have been Lorenzo Romar's first year, I want to say, in 2000. But Troy, currently an active Billiken alum, and is heading up this Billiken Victory Fund, which is the NIL, I guess it's a collective, I don't know the phrasing, but basically trying to get St. Louis U competitive in the NIL market. Scott Highmark, another prominent Billiken alum, I believe, is also involved. So we have Troy on the show to kind of explain things. What we do know, and early on, Troy will say that it's changing. Even after we recorded the segment, there was a ruling, and that made the NCAA say, okay, we're going to stand down a little bit. You know, who's really in charge of this? And whenever you say we got to fix it, if you say the NCAA needs to step in, people roll their eyes. Oh, what are they going to do? They get nothing right. Okay, we'll have Congress do it. Well, what are they going to do? They don't get anything right. There is not an easy solution, but there are some questions I wanted answered. So we appreciate Troy hopping on the show. Coming to you, as always, from the Pasta House Studios. PastaHouse.com is where you can order that food online. Kids eat free on Sundays. Everything's made fresh daily. The food's so good. The only difficult thing, deciding what to order. Pasta House, all around the greater St. Louis area. Triad Bank, longtime sponsor of all the Kilcoin Conversations. Neighborhood-friendly bank. If you're a business owner getting the runaround from your bank, talk to the folks who are based right here in St. Louis since 2005. TriadBanking.com or in person on Clayton Road in Frontenac. Also the second location on Olive, just west of 270. Appliance Discounters, real simple, biggest names, lowest prices. They've been doing this for a long time now. Started as a slightly dented and dinged model where they would get you, you know, kind of a discounted item. Not anymore. Top end, all price ranges, biggest names for your next kitchen or washer, dryer, stove. If you only need one item, whatever you need, they have it. Lowest prices guaranteed. TheAppliancedIscounters.com. The Missouri Athletic Club, two locations. Of course, the historic building downtown. You've probably been to an event there, corner of Washington and Broadway. Such a great spot. Just a beautiful old building. Maybe you get invited to a wedding or an event there. Also have the West Clubhouse. Great place to either play pickleball or learn how to play. I still haven't made the plunge. I know I'm going to be shunned by many. But you can play tennis. Kids can swim outdoors. There's camps in the summer. There's so much going on, both locations, for the entire family. Whether you like the dining aspect or the fitness, there really is something for everyone at the MAC. And also Marie de Villa Senior Living. They're at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. Premium spot for your retirement years. They've been there since 1960. Awesome campus out west. Find out more or take a virtual tour at mariedevilla.com. MARIDEVILLA. mariedevilla.com. It's so nice. I stepped outside and now the birds are chiming in as unofficial sponsors. But here now, our conversation with Troy Robertson. This is a fascinating topic, and it's not just about SLU. It's really across the country. Everyone's trying to sort through this. And for the Billikens, Troy Robertson, prominent alum, has sort of taken the charge here along with others to set up the Billikens Victory Fund. And I've seen some things on social media, but I didn't really quite understand it. So Troy Robertson on the line. Troy, how are you, my man?
I'm great, Martin. Thanks for having me. Excuse me, prominent alum. Wow, that's quite the introduction.
Did I not do it justice? That's fair. You were a conference champion that went to the NCAA tournament back in 2000, only to face Rick Majerus, Utah Utes, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, no, you're correct. No, prominent, you did great. I think you oversold it.
I don't oversold
know if I qualify as prominent, but no, yeah, 2000, Coach Majerus, that was my last game as a Billiken. They beat us by, I don't remember if it was two or three on kind of a late shot at the buzzer from like 35 feet. So tough loss, but yeah, it was one of those things where who knew that later in life we'd cross paths with Coach Majerus.
Yeah, how about Coach Majerus, did you, because you're around the program a lot, did you spend a ton of time with him, much time with him?
Actually, you know what? I got to know him super well, really well. There was a period of time, his first year, where there were just some guys on the team that weren't a great fit. If you remember, they actually had like 8 or 9 scholarship guys 1 year. And so he got my name through the athletic department, and we would kind of come down, some of us alums, and run the scout team along with a couple of his grad assistant guys. And so literally there was one kind of over Christmas, the 2-3 weeks when, you know, it wasn't super busy for me at work, where I would go to practice every day and run the scout team for him. And then he had this amazing Jedi mind trick where, like, he would come over after practice and say, "Hey, you guys want to go get something to eat?" And I would say, in my mind, I would say, "No, I don't want to," or "No, I don't have time." And every day I'd say, "Sure, coach, let's go. Yeah, let's talk about practice." And, you know, 4 hours later, I'd get out of there. So, no, I spent a ton of time with him, and we got to be pretty close.
Did you go to LaRusso's with him? And Chaffetz tells all these stories, too, Dr. Chaffetz, where if you ate with Majerus, he would tell them, like, take the menu back, and he'd say, "We want one of everything on that table over there," or you'd go to Adriana's and have sandwiches. But that's, you're right. Like, what lasted longer, his practices or his lunches?
They were both forever. But it was just a blast. Yeah, he would get, you know, 4 appetizers and 2 entrees, and then he would always get an entree to go after the meal because he'd watch film, you know, at night. I mean, that would be a whole other segment than me retelling some of my material.
Oh, yeah. And I've told, and you know, Dave Kaplan out of Chicago, media guys, was really good friends with him, and then Chaffetz. And I said, one day we're going to do a roundtable or a podcast, just Majerus stories. It might need to be on a podcast because we may not be able to say all of it on radio, just to be fair. But nonetheless, we're having you on the show. We're not breaking down Travis Ford or the current regime. We know it's a little turbulent right now for SLU, but I do want to talk about the NIL fund. How does it work? Like, what are the, like, I know coaches can't legally say to a player, "Here, I'll write you a check." It all gets funneled through these either cooperatives or whatever a school sets up. So what are the rules in terms of NIL funds and what you guys are able to do?
Well, it's an ever-changing landscape. If you would have asked me that question a year ago as opposed to right now, my answer would be drastically different. Part because of some court rulings and part because of the NCAA itself, but essentially our collective, the Billiken Victory Fund, is an LLC, and we can collect money on behalf of SLU student athletes and then redistribute it. And our donors can take a business deduction because they can use these student athletes in a marketing campaign or to make an appearance or to sign autographs or put stuff on social media or whatever they want. And so it's no different than hiring a professional athlete in that regard for marketing purposes. And then we turn around and then redistribute the money to the kids as we see best fit to bring us the best results possible and then also attract, you know, kids in the portal or recruits. And it's important to note that SLU has a Billiken, what's called the Billiken Exchange. And if you don't want to go through the collective, you can just get online at the Billiken Exchange and sign up, and your business can contact any student athlete. You know, primarily it's men's basketball, but it could be soccer, of course, with our great programs, or our baseball team's amazing right now, and do a campaign, you know, with those student athletes. So it doesn't have to flow through us, but typically it does with the bigger donations and just kind of the, you know, general fundraising.
Okay, so a couple of specifics. Let's say I own Fred's Tires or whatever, and I'm a Billiken alum, or I just love the program. I would contact the Victory Fund, and I would say, "Hey, I'm going to give you guys X amount of dollars. Can I have so-and-so come to my daughter's birthday party?" Or, like, do they literally come to you guys and make a specific request? Or, I mean, some people could just donate, or do most people just donate money and say, "Do it as you see fit"?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably 3 or 4 categories there, Martin. There are the people that understand that NIL is here to stay and is part of college athletics and just want to see the program across all sports succeed the best they can. So here's a general donation. I don't need anything out of it. Just please attract and keep our talent if this helps. and there's that boat. There is a group of people that think about marketing campaigns and think about appearances and, you know, other ways to promote their business and give the kids some money. And then I think there are other people that are, I would say, a little bit more specific with it that just say, look, I love watching this player play, and I want to make a difference in their life. Can I make a donation and you make sure it gets redirected to specific player? Because I think one of the things we found is that if you just give a general donation, even though you trust our board and you know we're working on behalf of the program, but when we say, hey, look, we really need some financial support for this particular player or this particular situation, that people seem to respond a little bit more to the specific ask than just, hey, give it to our fund and we'll take it from there.
Okay, and then can a player in any sport, but men's basketball, whatever, can they come to you guys and say, anybody want to talk to me? Anybody want to pay me? Like, what are they allowed to, like, advocate and come to you guys and say, hey, I'm looking for a little something?
They are. I mean, most of the time it's not the players. If you're in the portal or if you're coming in from somewhere else, almost always they have an advocate. In some cases, it's an actual agent. In other cases, it's a, you know, a junior college coach or a AAU-type coach that really is, you know, kind of just working on behalf of the player to find out what their market value is. And then you kind of work with that player. But most of the time, once they're at SLU, it's us trying to work on their behalf to say, you know, so-and-so's having a great time. What if we paired them up with this company or that company, or, you know, this, we know this family or this group of people is a big fan of someone. Could we ask them to support him and then, you know, give out the financial support in that way?
But a coach can't say, how much you want? Here's what what are the rules? I'm sure there's plenty of shady in college sports, but what are the actual rules? Like, a coach can't make a cash offer? Is that true?
Yeah, so this is one of the things that's literally changed over the last, say, 2 weeks. So up until 2 weeks ago, the coach could not say a number. The coach could not quote a number. What you could do is say, you know, hey, you're a point guard that we're really excited about. And you know what? We've had a really good point guard here. His name was Yuri Collins. He did this and he did that, and he received, oh, I don't know, about this much money. And you can use it as kind of a template to share with the kid to say, this is what we can do. The coaches are not allowed to say, if you come here, we will give you blank. That's
right.
That's not allowed. And really, even the collectives aren't supposed to do that. We're more paraphrasing. However, and this is a very general comment, the NCAA, which is, you know, kind of under attack in the court system right now, just needs to realize that kids aren't going to transfer sometimes across country without knowing kind of exactly, like, a paraphrase is not necessarily enough to get them to move. I mean, nobody, no adult would switch companies, switch jobs, if they said, well, here's about what you get. I mean, people like specific, you know, offer letters when they switch jobs. So, and you've seen that in the last week or two. There was a ruling, of course, in Tennessee, where the University of Tennessee was under investigation by the NCAA and was going to hand out some penalties. Well, they sued, and the judge ordered that now there's a temporary restraining order against the NCAA penalizing collectives, even monitoring them. So now, as it stands, I mean, again, I'm not a lawyer, and Sloop probably is cringing listening to me say this, but as it stands now, the collectives are kind of allowed to do what they want in whatever capacity.
It is a changing landscape, and I don't know how they fix it, because NIL, and I've said this many times on this show, but name, image, likeness makes so much sense. You're the star quarterback at Mizzou, and instead of getting in trouble like the old days for selling a T-shirt with your name on it, now you can make a little money because you're an established athlete on that particular campus. And now it's all about recruiting. They haven't done anything. Do you think they could ever say the rule is you have to spend one semester at a certain school, at any school, and then you can start cashing checks? Do you think it's too late for that?
I think it's too late. I think capitalism has been totally let out of the box, And to try and pull it back in now is going to be really, really difficult, if not impossible, because there are about 30 states, Martin, where the schools can work on behalf of high school recruits to initiate campaigns and raise money for them before they're actually enrolled at the university. So if you're a really, really good, you know, high school junior, high school senior, and you're a prominent recruit, schools can go to you in some states and say, hey, here's X for your high school year as long as you come to our school. And, you know, how do you ever pull that kind of incentive back once it's allowed? And the part that the NCAA just didn't anticipate, nor did anyone, was how the pot of money, essentially free agency for these kids to move different schools. I mean, name, image, and likeness is great when a business uses a student athlete to promote their business and do some marketing. It's good for the kids, good for the business. What they did never anticipate happening was, you know, player A leaving for a different school because they offer them, you know, X plus $100,000 to come to their school versus staying where they are. And that's the part that's just, to me, that more than anything has changed college athletics.
Yeah, I call it constant free agency. There is no, hey, yeah. It's constant. Troy Robertson, our guest, prominent SLU alum, and kudos to you and another prominent alum, Ryan Luchtefeld. You and Luck had some fun with this, having some Billiken players doing commercials for you guys, video bits. They're funny. It's a good way to show the kids' personalities, but also for them to make a little bit of money. I just wonder, long term, if you're thinking, you know, who primarily is going to donate are going to be alums. Think of like a Michigan alumni base, huge school,
right?
And they're just their vault of alums is going to have X amount of millionaires, X amount of billionaires. And then Gonzaga is not a huge school, so it's going to have way less alums, way less to draw upon. Isn't that at some point going to be, I mean, it's going to be like baseball where we complain about small market teams. I don't think it's going to work long term.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, you nailed it there. It's really hard for the smaller schools to compete with these, you know, I mean, what's Mizzou's enrollment? Are they pushing off 30,000 graduates every year and SLU's total capacity is 12,000? You know, so it's a very hard, and don't quote me on those numbers, I'm just saying that tongue-in-cheek, but it's very hard to compete, and the only way to do it really is have a couple or 5 or 10 or 20 really prominent alum that make big donations that can outpace some of the bigger schools. Maybe they get, you know, a whole bunch of people making $1,000 donations, whereas you get some big fish making really big donations. Or the benefit to SLU is there are great, you know, corporate partners in town, where if you can sign up some of your corporate folks, which we're working on, but we haven't quite sealed those deals, to where the corporations can get online and go, hey, this makes sense. If St. Louis University athletics is really strong, that's really good for civic progress. It's good attention for the area. You know, it helps St. Louis as a whole. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're, you know, Michigan, these Big Ten schools and Big 12 schools where they just have tons of alumni and tons of students, it's hard to keep up. And I think, Martin, that will eventually lead, in my opinion, to some sort of revenue sharing where the schools are going to have to participate. They really don't want – this is the part that's changing right now and makes it really hard. The schools, I don't think, really want the kids to be, quote, employees. Because if they're employees, then everybody has to get paid, and maybe they have to have benefits, and maybe there's a union. But if there's some sort of revenue sharing where the schools make, you know, a certain amount of money and can peel that back to the student athletes, that makes sense because it's really hard for the boosters to fund this year in and year out when they really don't get any return other than a really competitive, great team that they enjoy. But you don't, unless you do it pure NIL where your business is benefiting, there's not a ton of ROI there.
What were you offered by – did Spoon recruit you or Romar? I'm trying to think when you came in. Was Spoon still there? Did he offer you like a cheeseburger at Humphreys or Clark's? What is that the extent of your offer?
Yeah, you stole the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, it was a Humphreys double
him, you know, a penny pitcher of beer on Wednesday night. I mean,
penny pitcher that they weren't allowed to pay for, so you had to provide the penny.
Correct. If Ryan Luchterfeld and I went into Spoon and said, "Coach, you know, if we're going to play, we really need some money," we would have, the door would have hit us in the you know what faster than you could have imagined.
Spoon, like, you all got to pay me to keep you on this damn team. Like, you right. should be paying me.
You two rockheads, get out of my office.
Oh, that's my God. Now, that's another podcast, The Spoon Years. Well, Troy, thanks so much. It was informative, and I think a lot of our listeners, we talk NIL all the time. We don't quite know the parameters, and while still acknowledging that it is a changing landscape, I should throw this at you. One of our sponsors is the Missouri Athletic Club, and Troy is what I call the mayor of the MAC, the former – you're the president. You're on the wall downtown, right? Former president at one point?
I was – blessed and grateful enough to be the president in 2016-2017.
What does Troy love about the MAC? What does his family enjoy about the MAC?
Gosh, you know what? There's nothing I don't love about the Missouri Athletic Club. You know what it's changed for me after these years? I joined right out of college in 2001, and I just loved playing pickup basketball and hanging with the guys. And, you know, we'd play and then get dinner and have a beer and watch whatever was on TV. 20 years later, I still play in the Tuesday night league down there, but now it's so much more family. I have three kids. We are literally there in some capacity every day. You know, in the summer, we're at the pool. My daughter takes tennis lessons, you know, working out. So it has so many uses, and it's close to our house. We love the MAC, and we love all the people there. It's great.
There you go. Troy Robertson for the Missouri Athletic Club. Two locations, downtown West Clubhouse, mac-stl.org. Only warning to future members, the pool in the summer, the kids think that stuff's free. They just sign your name all day long.
Right.
I need
right.
to get Troy's number. But, hey, my man, hey, thanks so much for hopping on. A lot of fun.
All right, Mark. Talk to you soon.
Well, hopefully we've got a few answers there. Appreciate Troy hopping on the show, and I think we acknowledged it in the interview, but he didn't want to get into Travis Ford and the struggles of the Billikens program because he's pretty close to all of the coaches on the current staff, so he didn't want to opine on what's going to happen here. A lot of questions about Travis's future. Are the Billikens going to make a change? I still don't have a great read. I don't have a great answer for anybody on that topic, but Troy's purpose on being on the show was to talk NIL, and I think some of the questions were answered, and some of it still, quite frankly, is unknown. Hey, coming up next week on the Kilcoyne Conversation, my interview with Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos, but he's going to be in St. Louis taking part in the Kelly Chase All-Star Hockey Game, raising money for Siteman Cancer Center. It starts with, wait, what? Why is Sean Payton coming to St. Louis? Turns out they're friends, but Sean Payton also has some great stories from Charleston, Illinois, when he was a college kid at Eastern Illinois, when the Big Red, Jim Hanifin's football Cardinals, would hold training camp at Eastern. He coached Marshall Faulk in college. He's buddies with Joe Buck. So a lot of St. Louis connections. So we'll bring that to you next week. You can always find past segments at Apple, iTunes, Spotify, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, all of our great material. And all of it brought to you by our great sponsors, The Pasta House, all those locations around town. If you're looking for a great lunch spot, if you haven't been in a while, it's time to get back. Each location, this is what I love. This is not a cookie-cutter format. Each one is very unique in terms of the layout. One thing's the same. The food's great at every single location. Love that salad and salad dressing, the bread. You can tell that that's made fresh. My kids fill up on the rolls. Not being cheapskates, just the food is that good. Stop by your neighborhood Pasta House. Triad Bank, whether you're a business owner or if grandma needs a new checking account. I say that because we took my mom up there and she just liked everybody in the lobby. Everybody's friendly. You just don't get that anymore at the big corporate banks. Triad Bank, not only the neighborhood friendly bank, but more importantly, they can help business people get more done here in town. Stop by and see them or go online at triadbanking.com. Appliance Discounters, yes, the spot to go to for your next appliance purchase, but also a great repair team. And I use the word team loosely. It's my guy, Sean. Sean is the man. He can fix absolutely everything. Trust me, he has for us. Kids are tough on the appliances, and he can fix everything. Call him up. Don't wait weeks and weeks and weeks for that 1-800 number where it's automated. Call the folks at Appliance Discounters for your next repair needs. Marie Davila Senior Living, corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. Love going by there during the different seasons. If the Cards get into the postseason, then the fountains are red. If the Blues make the playoffs, the fountains out front are blue. Always festive, real prominent spot there on Clayton Road. Giant Christmas tree over the holidays. Just great folks that run it, Fred and Mary Kay. You can find out more at mariedavilla.com. And the MAC, Missouri Athletic Club, mac-stl.org. Not just great for fitness or food and dining and entertaining clients, but the speaker series. They just had Roy Blunt and Claire McCaskill together. We had Joe Buck and Chip Carey last summer. There's always something going on, whether it's an author, professor, politician. The speaker series, one of the great benefits of membership, in addition to be able to park downtown. You go to a Cardinals game, Blues game, city, park downtown. If you're a member, this is great. Just park in their outdoor parking garage, go inside, bite to eat, something to drink, and hop on the shuttle. Easiest way to get to a game in downtown St. Louis. Another one of the great benefits of membership at the Missouri Athletic Club, mac-stl.org. As always, thanks for tuning in to the Kilcoin Conversation.